Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee in the building. Listen, training camp day off. No update on anything new today, but some reaction to what we've actually gotten a chance to see. And listen, there's a lot of positives from camp, but how much can we realistically take from what we've seen already? We'll take the advice of somebody who's been at a few training camps, just to say the least. Jason McKee in the building as well. J-Mac, what's going on, my guy?
What's going on, man? It's funny, you know, they got a day off. Haven't really even started practice yet with no pads and stuff like that.
No, stop trashing them already, Jay.
I'm happy. I'm happy it's finally here. You know, I know, Pat, you've been out there for a few practices already. I'll be getting out there possibly Friday and Saturday. Saturday's the first day they'll be in pads. So that's, for me, that's the
Friday first day in pads. We got Friday and Saturday, I believe, back to back.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. That's when camp officially starts for me. Now, coming from an old fullback, that's when camp officially starts, when the pads come on. So I'll be out there checking out all the guys. And I'm excited, man. You know, obviously with all of the excitement, the buzz, you know, and here in Chicagoland and Bears fans, like, you know, it's exciting, as it is every year. We're always excited. We're always overly optimistic this time of year. But, you know, I think there's going to be some different things. We're seeing a Bears team that has transformed dramatically since Ryan Poles has taken a helm at GM. So I'm just excited to see how this thing all comes together. I'm excited for this Hall of Fame game. I'm excited to be out there in Canton celebrating Devin Hester, Steve McMichael, also Julius Peppers going in the Hall of Fame. This is great times right now for Bears fans.
No, for sure. I think the one thing that is always – was my go-to going in, I should say, especially since Flus has been here, is yes, we're excited. Yes, we're excited for camp. Yes, we're excited to have football to talk about. But me and you were at a camp last year that, whether they were playing well or not, we both kind of left that camp looking around going, what the heck was that?
Was it camp? Was it camp? Not just like everybody. Everybody was confused. Like,
yeah, and it was like, well, they must feel so confident that they're going to dominate that they feel like they can take it easy in camp. And then we saw weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you don't get your first win until week 5, and now you're a 1-4 football team trying to figure out how the heck you just got shell-shocked. I want to start it off here, J-Mac, because to me, and I understand it's only through 4 days,
right?
Matt Eberflus has checked a major box for me already. He has training camp looking like how it is supposed to look. I have left every single camp feeling like these young guys have gotten a good amount of work in. There's always going to be, right, we just live in an era where they're not going to go where we want them to go as far as competition-wise. But based on what we saw last season and how lackluster it was, how slow everyone was moving, how it just felt like every day you were like, okay, there's kind of some work being done, but it kind of feels like they're leaning back. They're very relaxed. They're very lackadaisical. I don't know if it's because of the new influx of people or if Matt Eberflus realized that his team was not prepared to start the season last season, but he has checked the major box for me as far as putting together a training camp that seems like it has allowed everybody to get in a good amount of work. And he has not stifled the players' aggression, has not stifled their energy, has not stifled the defense at all. He's not once gone out there and been like, all right, let's dial it back. Like, of course, there's moments where they go half speed. But I think when you get out there on Friday and Saturday, especially with pads on, you're going to see a defense and an offense that seems like not only are they good getting a good amount of work in, but also a defense that is ready and willing to go out there and hit somebody when they put these pads on. When you hear Javon Dexter talk, when you hear Montez Sweat talk, they are absolutely ready to go out there and attack somebody on the other side. Versus last year, it was like, are you excited for pads? Well, you know, you got to put them on. So it is what it is.
I mean, they better be ready because, you know, it's a long season. It's a tough season the way it's shaped up. You know, it starts out not as we could say. I mean, every year's different. Every team's different year in and year out. But based on, you know, what we've seen in the past, the start of the schedule is not as tough as the end of the schedule. You know what I mean?
Right.
And with all the expectations, with all the additions that they've brought here, all the improvements to the roster, right? They better be ready because it's high expectations. Like, nobody cares if you got a rookie quarterback. He's a number one draft pick. He's supposed to come in here and change the tide of this team. He's supposed to be the quarterback of the future. So in this game in the NFL, there's no excuses, right? It's no excuses. You can't say, oh, we weren't ready. Oh, we need more time. No, you better be ready when that ball's kicked off. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that, you know, right now, like you said, the change in training camp, I've been out there, but I'm glad you've seen a difference to what we saw last year. Because last year, it just seemed like it was fantasy camp. Like, guys are just out there. I mean, they might as well have some reclining chairs and lemonade because it wasn't as intense as it needed to be in terms of from a preparation standpoint and from a player standpoint. Like, when we left that training camp last year, and like you just said, we questioned, are these guys really ready? Are they ready for the season? And you can see that at the start of last season, it was like we were shell-shocked a lot. Like, we weren't ready. You know, we weren't physically ready. Their bodies weren't calloused to take on the physical nature of what they're going to face in an NFL game. And I know they don't have pads on right now, but there's a way that you can get your guys ready without pads right now, and that's playing fast, right? You got a head coach that talks about hits principle, right? Playing with intensity, toughness, playing with, you know, all-out speed, all 11 guys on defense getting the ball. Everybody's playing fast. What if you're not practicing that way on a daily basis, whether you're in pads or you're in shorts, you're doing your team a disservice. You know what I'm saying? So there's a way to go full speed when you're not in pads. Make sure you taking care of your guys. But defensively, hey, if that ball carrier is running, you've got to fly up there full speed. Are you going to make that tackle and tag off? If you're not doing the little things like that or those details, it's going to hurt you in the long run because you're not giving your guys a realistic look as you can in practice, right? And when the pads come on, the pads got to be popping. That's what it's about. It's about the players getting their bodies calloused, getting ready for, you know, to be in a physical game each and every Sunday. You know, getting our guys ready to go out there and to compete. And if you're not doing that, like I said before, you're doing your team a disservice.
No, 100%. And I guess here's my question for you, right? When you look at training camp in general, you, like I said, you've been to a ton of these. The first week, right, people are making grand predictions, and there's these grand, like, oh, this is going to be the greatest team of all time. And, you know, rarely as Bears fans has it worked out in our favor, right? Like, yeah. I've looked at a lot of offenses. I was like, I think we got something here. And then you get into the season, it was like, I was wrong. But, like, how much realistically can you take from training camp, even just when the pads come on and different things like that, that you can say that is definitively a strength of this team? And how much of it do you kind of have to say, well, that's camp stuff. We'll see when the pads actually come on in a real game.
Yeah, it's tough because it's always going to be, whether you're in pads or not, it's always going to be a controlled environment because from a coaching standpoint and the team standpoint, you want to make sure you take care of your players. You don't want nobody to get hurt in camp. You know what I mean? That's right. The worst thing that can happen. So it's going to be a controlled environment. But at the same time, there's some times where you have to do things, like I said, to get your guys in a competitive environment, you know, to where, you know, some guys you may have to have a live period here and there. And I think, you know, back in the day, Coach Lovie Smith did a great job of that. There were certain points in training camp to where we'd have a live, you know, goal line. It'd be five plays. We'd have a live short yardage period. It'd be five plays. You know what I mean? And it's, hey,
yes,
I'm risking five plays, right? I'm hoping nobody gets hurt. But at the same time, we need this. We need our running back to get tackled to the ground. You know, we need our fullback to go in there and hit that linebacker full speed. We need that high-speed collision. You know, we need the receivers to go out there, run routes, come across the middle, and they may have to make a contested catch. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are certain – we need our offensive line to get a full-speed pass rush so we can see what we have, so we can get a true evaluation of what we have. And, you know, those are times in which, you know, coaches, they've got to figure that formula out and what's going to work for their team and how they can make sure that, hey, you know, it's not 100% that nobody's going to get hurt, but we do need some type of full speed game type simulated work at practice, you know, at some point. So I don't know if we're going to see that with Coach Flews. The game has changed. It's all about player safety, which I'm all for. You know, I understand. But the main thing is, I think when you look at, you know, the game now, when you look at games early on in the season, we see so many injuries, right? Because guys' bodies aren't necessarily ready to take on the rigors of an NFL game because they haven't been in that situation throughout mini camp, throughout the offseason, throughout training camp. I think training camp's the best opportunity that you can get to give your team a simulated look. And if you're not doing that, or if you're not trying to fit one of those, you know, in practice, fit one of those segments in there, it's just really hard to get your team ready for what they're going to face, you know, each and every Sunday. And then the player, it's not like you can leave practice and say, okay, I'm going to go get extra work. You know, me and Tremaine Edmonds, we're going to go out, you know, out at the park and we're going to, you know, go up and we're going to hit each other full speed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's really no way for you to get that simulated look unless you have a segment or two in practice or where you're going to give your team that opportunity to get a true full speed look.
How would you week to week kind of, because I would assume, right, even back in Lovey's day, y'all wasn't killing each other week one.
No, not at all. I mean, the funny thing is we had a ramp up period, but I think it was like the first 2 days we may have been in like helmets and shoulder pads. And then I think the third day we were in full pads or something like that. But we were in pads early and you know, it was a true two a day. So it was, you know, we're in the morning, we're practicing full pads. In the evening, we used to, down at Olivet Nazarene, we used to practice in the stadium. The fans would come out and, you know, he had some live periods. And it was good because it got us physically ready. And, you know, I think we're in a similar situation that this offense is in. You know, I had the opportunity offensively to go against a great defense each and every practice. So that really helped us get ready because we were getting one of the better looks that we would see in the NFL. In terms of from a defensive standpoint. And, you know, we're going against some of the best players at their position at that time. You know, I have an opportunity to go against Brian Urlacher in training camp. I had an opportunity to go against Lance Briggs at training camp, Mike Brown. You know, we're going against Tommy Harris, Alex Brown, Adewale Ogunleye. Like, you know what I mean? Guys who were at the top of their positions at that time in the NFL. So in terms of getting a look, we were getting one of the best looks that we would see all year in the NFL. So I think that really played into our advantage, similar to what we see with Caleb Williams. Like you're going to get a good solid look at one of the top NFL defenses that you may see this year that has a lot of, you know, upper echelon players. You're going against one of the best corners in Jalen Johnson each and every day, one of the best defensive ends in Montez Sweat each and every day, arguably going against one of the top linebacking corps you're in the league with T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds each and every.
I do that too. A lot of T's on that line.
Right, and I'm about to call him T.J. Edmonds.
Hey, that's what we call him, dog. It's like you seen Dragon Ball Z when they do the fusion dance. How they come together.
Another thing too, I think it's a unique situation because you know you have your head coach calling the defense, and you know in terms of developing a quarterback and in terms of where you want to see, you know, what you want to see from him on a daily basis and how he responds to certain situations and certain looks and coverages and certain blitzes, well, as a head coach calling the defense, you can dial that up anytime you want. You know, you can say, okay, I want to see how he responds to this look. And then you dial that up in practice. So it gives you a little advantage at that point from that standpoint. And I think it's a unique situation because, you know, Caleb Williams has the weapons, but now he's seeing a really good defense each and every day at training camp.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the part that I think I've really taken away. And I'll be honest with you, what excites me about it, and I don't know if you guys' training camps were like this, but you mentioned, right, that iron sharpens iron mantra, and the Bears have really been big on that. If I'm going up against the best, I know I can go out there and beat the best. Jalen Johnson said as much where he talked about, you know, it's like back in college when you go Georgia versus Alabama, you know, you're going 5-star on 5-star.
Yep.
But when I go up against a 2-star, it's like, oh, you can't cover me. You know what I mean? So that throw was wide open. We've seen that with Caleb Williams, especially yesterday in the 2-minute drill situational period where it's like 130, 140 on the clock, 2 timeouts. Mm-hmm. Starting on the 40. Caleb Williams has been able to move the ball downfield. But we haven't seen him be able to get into the end zone. So practice three, when they did it. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a 2-hour mark now, which is, I instantly thought of you and Lance. I'm not going to lie to you. Like there's two, y'all got, you could practice for 2 hours. And then if you're not off of the field, you get fined. I was like, that's hilarious. Like,
Wait a minute. Hold on.
So basically they have a 2-hour limit for practice. And if you go over, if your players are on the field for more than 2 hours, I guess the CBA or the Players Association will send you a warning and stuff like that. So look at if you're not watching, Jamie can just die laughing. Bro, it's a different league. Oh, that's man. Why Mercedes Lewis can play for 19 seasons, J-Mac. I mean,
like, you're telling me, right? And, you know, not just myself, but a lot of guys on our team, we're big into getting extra work. So if I want to stay after practice and get some extra work, they're going to find me because I'm
now, I don't know if that's the case. I think it's just the team held practice. So when you're practicing and the coach is organizing it, you have to stay within that 2-hour limit because they pulled the offense on the third day, got a first down. There was like 46 seconds left. And then they randomly pulled the offense off of the field. And we were all sitting there like, are we not going for touchdowns? Like the situation was minute 30, two timeouts, down 3. And then they just kicked the field goal. And we were like, that's interesting. Flew said, well, they were at that 2-hour limit. I was like, I instantly thought of y'all like a 2-hour limit. I can't imagine one of y'all looking at Lovey like, hey, it's been 2 hours, Lovey. Can we get up out of here?
Hurry up.
But I say all that to say, yesterday we got to see him finish out that drive because they weren't at that 2-hour limit. He got down to the 6 and couldn't get the football in because he's going up against some of the best coverage linebackers and DBs in the NFL. How much of a positive is it when you're finally able to overcome the struggle in training camp that you haven't been able to beat in this sense, right? In that 2-minute drill, he has yet to score a touchdown. He did get to the point where he was moving the ball well, they kicked the field goal and tied it, but he's yet to score a touchdown in that situation. How much of a boost do you get from that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like he's like, look, like I said before, going up against a great defense, has a lot of great talent each and every day. He knows it's a challenge. He knows he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes, and there's going to be different adversities that he's going to face in practice, right? But having, you know, going through those type situations that you're going to encounter, you know, on multiple occasions throughout the season, like, it's good. It's good practice for him. It's good practice for him.
Right.
And we know he's a competitive guy. I mean, that's why he was a number one overall pick. We know he's a baller. We know he can play, has the potential to be great. But, you know, I'm sure he's storing that in his memory bank saying, hey, you know what? It's a challenge for me. I got to get in the end zone. I got to score. So, and it's not just a challenge for him. It's the challenge for the offense as a whole. You know what I mean? We keep saying a lot of things going to fall on his shoulders. But, you know, Ryan Poles has done a good job surrounding him with talent. So that way he doesn't have to feel like the weight of the world is on his shoulders. He doesn't have to carry this team like he did a USC offense last year. You know what I'm saying? You have guys with talent that can help you, and you have a defense that can help you as well. So I think with his situation, it's unique because, you know, I think he can just – he doesn't have to go out there and do things that's uncharacteristic of his game. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have to go out there and make the spectacular throws. He didn't have to go out there and roll around in the pocket and then throw a 60-yard bomb like we see on some of his highlights. You know what I mean?
Right,
he has an opportunity to be able to – play within the system, play within the scheme. You know what I'm saying? Because you have a defense that, you know, I feel like he can rely on, that can, you know, make sure that they keep things close to where that way he has a chance to come back and put this offense in position to score points and win games. And, you know, so it's definitely a unique situation for him, a totally different environment. And, you know, I think in terms of, you know, the players, iron sharpens irons, like, it's not just good for him. It's good for, you know, Jalen Johnson. You know, you bring in another receiver like Keenan Allen. You bring in a young rookie like Romo Dunze. Rome, a young guy, right? He's going against a great secondary, guys that can play. And, you know, some of the things or some of the way he ran his routes in college may not work in the NFL because guys are more fundamentally sound. And, you know what I'm saying? So it's a challenge for everybody. It's good that you have a lot of good talent on this roster because you're getting good looks. Now, the main thing that I would say is, you know, the one thing – that you got to be careful of. We just call it brother-in-law, where, okay, you know, I'm going in there full speed to hit Brian Urlacher, but I know I'm not trying to kill him. He's not trying to kill me because we need each other for the season. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we have to do it in a way we give each other a good enough look to where we're making each other better.
You called it brother-in-law?
That's what we called it, brother-in-law.
Hey, like, so I'm going to hit him, but I can't knock him out because technically my sister going to be mad at me.
Now, you can tell somebody's brother-in-law because they just going to come up and just, there's no collision. There's no thumping of the pads and stuff like that. Like, oh, they're over there, brother-in-law and over there. You know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, look, I've got to make sure that, you know, I'm giving, you know, him a look. I've got to make sure I'm really coming in there and giving him a look because I got to make him better. He's got to give me a look. He's got to make me better. You know what I mean? So it's tough because it's a fine line because you don't want to get anybody hurt, but you need to work to make sure you're prepared.
I think this is kind of off bears, but do you ever think that there will be a day, not that we go backwards. I don't think that you can go backwards, but that the players will want. And I think this is the thing. If the players ask for it, I don't think that it would be a tough get where the players will want to say, we need more to be able to hit more in training camp. We need to be able to have more contact in training camp because the rise in injuries during the season is clearly, or it seems like to me, a direct correlation of your body's not prepared for when Max Crosby catches you on the left side and now you're dead on the field because he just hit you with all his might because he's trying to be in the back smoking a cigar after the game.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think you know, it's I think the great teams, they have the great leaders, right? They do a good job of communicating with the head coach. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be on a team like that to where, you know, we had great leaders that went and spoke to the head coach often. You know, Krutz would go up to Lovey's office to speak with him a lot. And tell him things that we need and tell him things that we needed, would give his opinions. And did Lovey follow it all the time? I don't think he did, but I think he did take note and he followed some of it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I wasn't in those meetings, but I know they took place. You know, so I think we have a coach that has, you know, he's willing to listen to the team. He's willing to hear the locker room. He's willing to listen to the leaders and implement suggestions. You know what I mean? I think it's all for the good because now – you got to be on one accord because at the end of the day, the coach can call what you want to call, but you're not out there actually running the plays. You know what I mean? So if your guys are saying, hey, we need to find a way to make this more physical, then it's up to the coach to figure out how to do it. You know, do I throw in a live period here and there? You know what I'm saying? Do I make, you know, the last five plays of team live? You know what I mean? Because like you said, it's different for a running back, you know, going through a hole, knowing he's not going to get tackled to the ground. It's just different.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
I can just run through there, but it's also like, and then from a running back standpoint, like you need that contact. You may need a, you know, a live period here and there so that my body can get used to being tackled and taken to the ground. My body can get used to being twisted and turned in different positions than, you know, that I'm going to be in throughout the season. And if I'm not getting that or I haven't gotten any of that until like the first game, well, bam, like we see it all the time. Right. The first game we see somebody gets hurt. Dang. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It happens all the time. But
and the thing is, right, I would get it if it's all Max Crosby killing dudes or Nick Bosa coming across and knocking somebody. I would get it for that. How many non-contact injuries are we seeing in week one?
Yeah. I mean, it happens. It happens without, you know, like you said, without being hit. But
yeah,
the thing that won't change is from a quarterback standpoint, you know, you can get a pass rush. They can give you, you know, a simulated pass rush, but you're never going to get hit in practice. You're never going to get hit in training camp. That's just not going to happen. I don't think that's ever happened. Maybe back in the day, but it didn't happen during my time. And I don't see that ever changing. Like, quarterback's got a red jersey on for a reason. Stay off the quarterback. Get away from the quarterback. Don't get near the quarterback.
Here's the tough part for me, and you can explain this better than I can, but don't you think you would need something from the league? Because let's say, right, I'm young DB trying to make it. I know that I can play. I can play at the NFL level. And the team has agreed we're going to play more physical no matter what coach call. We're going to play it a little bit more physical. And now I come across and I hit Jalen Johnson from Kennesaw State. I hit Jalen Johnson or I hit Keenan Allen a little harder than the coach want. Now all of a sudden I'm not on the team because I'm from Kennesaw State. I'm the undrafted dude. But we agreed to this. But now I'm not on the team because I didn't hit one of our most important plays.
Yeah, I don't like. There's situation to where like It's either you're not going to agree to, okay, we're all going to have a full contact training camp every week.
Right. I'm not saying that, but brother-in-law in a little bit, like you said.
It's the greatest situation. And you know, like, there's certain people you just can't, you're not going to hit. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't hit that person.
You can hit Tyler Scott. Don't hit Keenan.
It doesn't matter the level of quarterback, where the quarterback ranks in terms of the rankings of quarterbacks in the NFL, right? If you're
– yeah.
I don't care if you're a starter, right? You don't hit the quarterback. You know what I mean? If Montez Sweat rushes and he bumps into Caleb Williams, they're going to be pissed. Stay off the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a no-no. Just a no-no. You know what I mean? So it's just as a coach, you know, how do you – in this NFL today, right, how are you getting your team prepared physically? And I wish we had an opportunity to look at training camps throughout the league, right? And I'd be interested to see, like, some of the top teams or the perennial teams that are always – you know, elite teams like Pittsburgh, like Mike Tomlin, right? An organization in which you have a coach during his tenure, he hasn't had a losing season, despite what the personnel is. Like, I would love to see, you know, what is he doing in training camp to get his team ready? And I'm sure there's some type of simulated, as close to realistic physical element in that training camp. I guarantee.
There's got to be.
Whether it's a competition drill, whether you're doing old school board drills where it's just
right? We the one thing that we do know is that the Chiefs don't go as hard in preseason, but from what we've heard around the league, they run the toughest training camp in the NFL. Big shock. They're they've been to four. It's a lot of Super Bowls. They've been to four Super Bowls. They've won three of them.
Yeah, and you got an old
school coach. So they're three Super Bowls in, something they're doing is working.
Yeah, you got an old school coach and Andy Reid. And my rookie year, you know, I was in Philadelphia and Andy Reid was my coach. And our training camp was tough. It was tough. You know what I mean? We were hitting. You know, wasn't no brother-in-lawing there.
Was it still tougher? Was it tougher when you were there than when you came to the Bears?
Well, it was tough for me because I was a rookie. You know what I mean? And we were going against a great defense back then as well. You had a defense that Brian Dawkins, Troy Benson, LaVon Kirkland. You know what I mean? Like,
you a rookie. Like, all right, let me catch this ball out the flat. Yeah, oh, no.
Douglas on that defense. Like, it was a good defense, but it was physical. You know what I mean? Like, and we had periods in practice in which it was live. It was full speed. You know, Deuce Staley was at running back. And inside drill, you know, they're running the linebackers. Deuce is trying to run them over. They're trying to hit them. You know what I mean? But that was back then, so it's a different NFL. But at the same time, you know, I'd be interested to see, like, what other teams are doing throughout training camp to get their players calloused and ready for the physical aspect of what they're going to encounter through an NFL season.
I think the best thing you see is one thing that we do have this year, which I like that Flus does it, the joint practice.
Yeah.
I think that the joint – I'm going to be real with you. I personally – this is my NFLPA. This is the – please, listen to me. Listen to me on this. Because 18 games is coming. I don't know if you saw the report, but they're meeting on 18 games now, and all they're going to do is get rid of a preseason game.
Yeah.
Put joint practice at Soldier Field or whatever your home stadium is. You will sell out.
Mm-hmm.
You will not have a problem selling out.
Yeah.
You can sell those tickets still, I guarantee you, for full price. And the building will be packed because you get more out of the joint practices to me than what you get in preseason. Now, you've been in a bunch of those. You've been a part of a bunch of those. Would you say that's factual that, right, what we're going to see versus the Bengals in joint practice is much more than what we're going to see versus the Bengals in the game?
Yeah, because you look at it like this, right? Joint practices, the intensity level is going to raise anyway because you're going against somebody different, right? No different than the preseason game. But here's the difference. If I have a joint practice, I have an opportunity to get my ones a lot of work against another team's ones. Whereas in a preseason, your ones are only going to get five snaps. They're going to be a snap count, five snaps, 10 snaps, or whatever.
Right.
I have an opportunity to get them more snaps against another team in a practice setting. Yeah, it's controlled, but at the same time, I'm still getting an aggressive look because their top DB is going to want to go against our top receivers, right? Because iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? I want to make sure I'm ready and getting a great look for the season. So I'm going to go against DJ Moore if I'm the Bengals, like you said, if I'm one of the best corners, or if I'm a corner on the Bengals roster, like I'm counting numbers in line when DJs are, I'm trying to rush up there to go against DJ. Because I know that's going to be one of the better looks that I'm going to see, you know, on Sunday. I'm going to go against Keenan. I want to see where I measure. I want to see what I need to work on from a player standpoint. Like, right. That's a great opportunity for you to, you know, get those reps in. Because you're not, if you're a starter, you're not going to get a lot of reps in preseason.
Yeah. Yeah. No, facts. 100%. Let me hit you with some of my surprises that I've seen this week. And actually, let me start here. Let's start with my concerns. Mm-hmm. I want to get your thoughts on this because I do have one major concern. I brought this up yesterday on the show. And it's because we haven't seen Braxton Jones out there. Now, me and you have both been concerned with Braxton Jones, right? Was, listen, 3 years into the league, still struggling with the bull rush. He understands what he needs to fix. Can't seem to get it fixed. Hopefully we'll see that change this season and he will improve. So what we've seen out there, though, because he's been limited, he's been day to day in his time out there, is Larry Borum as a backup left tackle. And my concern is this. Larry Borum's not good. he's really bad.
Hold on. Don't do that. He is good because he's in the NFL. He's one of the best at his job.
Okay. I will give you that.
He's not a starter.
I will give you that. Not that he's not a starter. J-Mac, there have been 3 sacks that I've counted that are guaranteed sacks.
Yeah.
He has given up every single one of them. And it is not him just like getting like Caleb was trying to let something happen and he couldn't. Like immediately, like the guy gets past him and Caleb is about to die.
Yeah.
That to me is a problem because your next best option at that left tackle position, if you don't go with Matt Pryor, who's out there, who has kind of played left tackle but has never gotten a consistent job there, which probably tells you what you need to know about him at left tackle, is a rookie in Karan Amageji, who is not going to get any real summer work until later on in training camp, and we don't have an updated timeline for him.
Yeah.
To me, you're basically about to head into this season, and I don't know how you don't keep him on the roster with a guy who already, and from what we even saw last season, couldn't sustain that position at left tackle. That is my biggest concern right now heading into this season. I'll give you that. I always say this. He's one of the best in the world at what he does. He's one of 450 players, I think, the NFL has.
Mm-hmm.
So he deserves the credit for that. But I don't want him protecting my rookie quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely. That's why, you know, he's not a starter. You know, he's a backup. But, you know, it's tough because we've talked about it, right? You look at all the moves they made. Okay. What elite move did they make in terms of offensive line? What elite move had they made in the past in terms of offensive line?
They haven't made. You know, well, drafting Darnell.
That was an elite move, yes.
That was an elite
move. In terms of like free agency, in terms of a known, like you evaluate Air Darnell, right? And they got that right. But it was still a crapshoot because we didn't know what Darnell was before we seen him play last year. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's still like, you know, this guy has the potential to be a great starting right tackle in this league for a long time. We're hoping, we're rolling the dice and hoping he can come in and start the entire season, you know, last year. You didn't know he was going to do that. You know what I'm saying? You knew he had the potential.
Through injury as well.
You knew he had the potential to be great because of your evaluations, right? That's why you picked him that's why you drafted him at number 10 overall in the first round. But you didn't know. It's still an unknown. You know, everything's an unknown until you get out there on the field and you show that you're a known, that you can be proven, that you can be counted on. But at the same time, you know, what elite move have they made in terms of bringing in a free agent that has all the accolades and that can get certain things done? They haven't. They haven't invested money there. You know what I'm saying? They've gone elsewhere. And, you know, that's going to always be a question. You know, if you're going to continue to if you're going to just say, okay, I'm going to bring in this guy who didn't have a lot of experience. I'm going to bring in this guy who didn't have a lot of experience.
Well, yeah.
You don't have like elite players at that level. You know, you don't. It's just
there's too many. there's too many ifs on this line. And what I mean by that is your left tackle position is if Braxton Jones gets better at the bull rush, you're good. If Tevin Jenkins stays heavy for 17 games, you're good. If Ryan Bates is one of the best centers in the league, even though he's played 150 in his career, you're good. If Nate Davis is healthy, you're good.
Right.
The only if I really don't come into the season with is the dude who's a second-year player that just figured out the NFL.
Yeah, and I think
and maybe hasn't figured out the NFL yet.
Yeah, it's still an if because, you know, can he continue to get better? Like, is he where he needs to be? No. And hopefully he hasn't reached his ceiling. Hopefully he continues to get better. And I think, you know, he's that type of player that's going to want to be great. You know, so it's like, hey, I had a great season last year, but I can't just, okay, say I've arrived. No, I got to keep getting better. Because now people know what you have the potential to do at right tackle. So it's only going to get more intense. It's only going to get harder. So the whole offensive line is a question mark as a whole because you haven't done things in the past to really address it. You know, the major thing that you did to address it was bringing Darnell Wright last year. All right, you brought in Nate Davis. Like you said, he's an unknown. Tevin Jenkins, when he's out there, he's a dog. Injuries. So the unknown is still there. You know, Braxton Jones, there's an unknown. You know, I don't care who's at center. It's an unknown. You know what I mean? Like that's, and I'm not saying that just because you bring in a high price free agent that he could just solidify this offensive line, but you know, you what moves have you really made and what type of investment have you made in the offensive line to make it better, to try to get it as close to a lead as possible? You have it.
Now, what's tough to me is, right, the left tackle market over the last couple of years. Maybe you can say this year there were a couple we'll wait and see. But like the year before, they all were terrible.
Yeah.
They all the guys that got big money were terrible. So Ryan Poles was right. But I think that's why, like me and you talked about, I love having Rome Odunze here.
100%.
I'm very happy he's here. I'm very excited about it. I would have loved to address and have an answer at least on that line that you were like, listen, I'm willing to draft this guy top 10. You kind of already know what he's going to be at this next level because we've seen him play at that kind of level. You're still taking a risk, but at least to me, you're addressing it versus, you know, and I'm not mad at sticking with Braxton Jones. Braxton will be solid back there, but you can't tell me that you can't improve at that position. I'm not mad at going out there and having Coleman Shelton. As we lost J-Mac there for a second, but we'll see if we get him back in here real quick. I'm not mad at you going out there and having Coleman Shelton, but I do believe that you need to be able to go out there and also have a better option than Ryan Bates. Like, I think that's where my struggles come in with where the offensive line has been. It is kind of what J-Mac said where, yes, you, as we add him back in here, got that phone call, didn't
I know that, man. You were talking about
They said stop trashing our line. Get out of here. But no, I'm like I was saying, right? Like I'm fine with you having Coleman Shelton because he's got 1,000 snaps at center. That means that he's solid at something. He's a really good run pro kind of guy. The Bears want to pass the football. So that means that you need to find a better pass pro answer. And your answer to that is let's see what Ryan Bates can do.
Yeah.
That concerns me when I look at this line that I can say, I mean, listen, if Tevin's healthy, there's not many better answers at left guard. That's an answer, but you got to be healthy. We haven't seen that yet either. So that's my biggest concern right now heading into the season. Dare I give you my biggest surprise right now, my guy? And I think you're going to like this. Now, there's been a lot of conversation around Khalil Herbert. Is he a bubble guy? Is he a guy who doesn't make the cut because he's not a Ryan Poles guy? Yeah. There's a guy that may make that a little bit more dangerous. Now, I want to caveat this with Khalil Herbert is having the best training camp of his career right now. Khalil Herbert is balling out there. I know there's no pads on, so you can't tell a ton, but literally every time I see Khalil make a move. I mean, he's getting chunk plays that I'm like, he probably would have got stopped for like 15 there. So he's having a really, really good camp. Pass catching as well. He's been solid. Ian Wheeler has been my biggest surprise. Young running back out of Howard University. Mm-hmm. He cuts fast, dog. Yeah. I mean, he had a play yesterday, read it perfectly. And you can speak more to this than I can. As a young player, though, it seems like there's often times where you're thinking more than just playing the game. And he seems to me like a player that when Caleb turns around and hands the football off to him, or Bajan turns around and hands the football off to him, he instinctually finds a hole, or he instinctually gets it outside and gets it up the sideline.
Yeah, and I think with a young back, right, like right now it's the evaluation is tough because, like I said, there's no pad. So what we think would be a 15-yard gain and a real game would be like maybe a 4 or 5-yard gain. You know what I'm saying? Because they're tagging off. So here's the thing. For a young back, I think the biggest thing is, first and foremost, especially as a young guy like him trying to find his way into a crowded running back room, you got to know your assignment. You have to know your assignment. You cannot make mistakes. There's no room. There's no margin for error for a guy like for a guy in his situation, right? Because you already have, you basically got three guys that's on the team already. You know what I mean? You're really fighting for a special team spot. So when you look at it, essentially you're competing with like a Travis Homer. You know what I'm saying? Because he's the fourth guy who's really a special teams guy, right? But at the same time, you're trying to make sure that you're putting out good film so that way all the other NFL teams can see it, especially during cutdown day. You may be a guy that has a great preseason. They can bring you in, and next thing you know, you're on a 53-man roster. But here's the thing. He's got to make sure he knows the assignment. He's got to be on point, right? And the preseason game is going to be crucial for him. Like the game next week, the Hall of Fame game, he's going to get a lot of carries.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be crucial for him, right? Not just showing his ability to run the ball, but to show his ability that I can come out of the backfield, I can catch, but I think it's really going to be, you know, a case to where he's got to show that he's willing to pass protect and he can be a good pass protector in the passing game from a running back standpoint, because those are all the things that these running backs are being evaluated on, right? You look at running backs nowadays, a lot of teams have two running backs, some of them have three, and it's rarely that we're going to see a back get 10 to 15 plus carries, just one back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you are not a back that can go out there and play special teams, if you're a back that can't be effective in the passing game, and if you're a back that doesn't excel in pass protection, well, you're going to get bounced around a lot. So for him, he's got to show that I'm a football player, not just a running back, right? If you need me to go in there and catch passes out of the backfield, I can do it. Need me to go up and go in there and pick up that linebacker blitzing, I can do it. If you need me to run in between the tackles, I can do it. If you're going to hand the ball off to me on the perimeter, I can do it. If you need me to run down there on kickoff, I can run down there and make a tackle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like That's what Ian Wheeler has to do. But at the same time, at the same time, he's got to be able to do this without making mistakes. I can't go the wrong way. I can't block the wrong linebacker. You know what I mean? I can't miss a block in pass protection.
Now, what I do think he is, though, and he's been a surprise to me, and he's somebody that I'm kind of cheering for. I think he's got a really cool story. Courtney was telling me yesterday, I think he's like training to be a medical assistant or a doctor. I gotta dive deeper into a story. It's like, hey, if football don't work out, I'm still trying to be rich. Stop playing with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or after football, when I'm done with this, I'm gonna then go into being a doctor. Which is who's the quarterback? He's a rocket scientist.
Yeah, he played at Tennessee.
He played there last year in Minnesota at the end of the year. Yeah. I can't think of his name.
Played at the University of Tennessee.
I know
you're talking about, but yeah, it's just stuff like that. I mean,
but cool story. Yeah. The thing for me though is I don't know if he I'm not saying that he's a reason why Khalil Herbert will get cut. Yeah. I think that's DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson, even though Khalil Herbert is definitely Josh Dobbs. Shout out to EO in the producer room. But I know that. For me, I should say, this is a Darrington Evans situation last season. Somebody who's in camp, somebody who's, you know, kind of figures it out. Maybe he's a practice squad player, maybe not. Maybe he kind of bounces around the league on different practice squads or actually gets on a squad. But somebody who you brought in, you had in your system, you saw something good out of, and say Roschon Johnson, Khalil Herbert, DeAndre Swift go down. Yeah. You've got that guy there. Or maybe he is somebody who they look at and say, we can store him on practice squad.
Yeah.
And we know we're going to move on from Khalil Herbert. Maybe we trade Herbert. We've got this guy in the waiting in the wings. We use Swift. If anything goes wrong, we've got Ian Wheeler on the team.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I think he's got to have a great show in the preseason, because your film is your resume in this league, you know. And if you're out there, you know, blowing assignments, not making plays, not making impact, then, you know, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle to land on any team. So, and that's the magnitude that a lot of people don't understand. Like, a lot of these guys that are trying to, you know, get on a 53-man roster or competing for a practice squad spot, like, it's tough, man. It's tough. And, you know, when you see the starters on the sideline eating sunflower seeds during the preseason and cracking jokes and they got their hat on backwards, well, the guys who are in the game, like, this is – they're fighting for their NFL lives. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, this could be the last time that some of these guys play football in their entire lives. And some of these guys have been playing forever. You know, some haven't been playing that long, but some have been playing since they were, you know, 5 and 6 years old. And this is
not with the XFL, J-Mac. They back in, baby.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, the pinnacle is getting to the NFL.
I know. I know.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, that's the reality of this game. So it's tough, man. And I've been one of those guys. Those guys to where, you know, that first preseason game, where everybody's like, oh, first preseason game, I can't wait to get on the sideline chill. And you got guys eating hot dogs on the sideline. And I'm like, this is my Super Bowl. Like, biggest game of my life right here. You know what I mean? And ain't nobody watching it because it's preseason. But guess what? This is my Super Bowl. You know what
Hey, J-Mac, I'm going to tell you this right now. No, first off, you had a Super Bowl, so that was your Super Bowl. But
back then, that
Michigan
was my Super Bowl. Like, I'm trying to be here so I can actually have an opportunity to go play in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Facts. So this is off of training camp again, but your last season, did you know it was your last season? Or is there a point in it where you was like, this is probably it? Or did the NFL kind of usher you out the league?
I knew it was my last season. Body was beat up, you know what I mean? And I was like, a lot of times your body's going to tell you, you know, whether or not the NFL will tell you first and foremost, but your body's also going to tell you, you know, like, I can't do a lot of the things that I was doing before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't get in the 3-point stance without having pain in my knee. You know what I mean? Like, I can't be as an effective blocker because every time I block, like, my wrist feels like it's going to fall off. You know what I'm saying? Like, your body's going to tell you, but then the NFL will tell you. They're going to say, hey, you know what? You're too old. You're beat up. You know, we don't have a need for you no more. Nobody has a need for you no more. So, you know, that time's going to come. And, like, for Ian Wheeler, like you talked about, like, him, you know, chasing another profession, or, you know, like we talked about, Josh Dobbs, like, they're going to need that degree. Are they going to need that fallback plan to fall back on? Because this game will retire you before you want to retire. Like, not everybody has an opportunity to retire and have a press conference and a ceremony. So majority of the guys, the game retires them.
you said more times than not, the NFL Draymond Greens. Hey, you ain't Kobe. They don't love you like that.
Press conference? Nah, it ain't no press conference. Like, it looks cool, but not everybody has that. You know what I'm saying? And even the guys that do have that, they have a press conference, but the game has told them that you're not good enough. You're like, you're too old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that time's going to come. And, you know, that's why, like, guys like Ian Wheeler, you talked about, and Josh Dobbs, like, smart guys like that, you know, they understand that, hey, I'm chasing a dream, but at the end of the day, I've got to make sure that, you know, I'm solidifying my future just in case this dream doesn't work out.
Was that difficult for you when you were kind of like, hey, I think I'm done, dog? Like, was it a difficult thing to kind of tell yourself, or were you like, and I gave it everything I got, and I'm good?
No, for me, it was like, I gave it everything I got. You know, I had an opportunity to play for a long time. I think the difficult part is, I think not just for me, but for a lot of players, and I don't want to speak for all players, but just from, you know, speaking with guys and having conversations, we all face the same thing. It's like, you know, you try to find ways to, like, to make yourself relevant or to feel like you're doing, because, like, you're on a schedule your whole life. Everything's regimented for you. All right, be here at 8 o'clock for this meeting, you're practice this time, dinner's at this time, travel's at this time. And then, you know, one day you wake up and like, damn, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, am I missing something? You're paranoid because, like, man, like, at this time, I'm already at the facility watching film. You know, I'm at home at 5 o'clock. But, man, before I wouldn't get home until like 7:30. You know what I mean? So I think it's an adjustment But I think it's a bigger adjustment for guys who don't have that fallback plan because they feel like they don't have self-worth. They feel like they're worthless now because their true career is over. Well, you're still young. I mean, guys are going to be in their early 30s, you know what I'm saying? Or late, or, you know, nowadays with the way it's going, guys will be in their 40s when they retire. You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot of life left. A lot of life left.
So it's, you know, like guys who set themselves up for after football, you know, they go into their other plan, their other dream, their other goal. And guys who don't, if they just put all their chips in the football, I think those are the guys that struggle because they don't know what to do. They feel useless. Their self-worth. They don't know, you know, I'm not worth anything anymore. I'm not playing. You know, So who am I? Like, because my whole life has just been geared toward one thing.
Your identity has become the player you are, not the person you are.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
That's deep.
It's tough, man. It's a big adjustment. Like, you know.
That's deep. I always like hearing that side of because, like, you always hear the success stories, and yours is a phenomenal success story with not only being able to play so long, but also being able to go into coaching, give back to the kids. Yeah. You told me the other day you was a scout. I didn't even know that. Like, that was cool. like you've been able to stay attached to the game, but it's cool to see, like, or it's always interesting to me to see, okay, after you were done, how did you use that? Even, right, Thomas Q Jones. Now, it cracks me up every time I look up T. Jones. When we had him on the pod and he was talking about, you know, being an actor and how there's still them competitive juices. Like, it's almost like the competitiveness y'all can't get away from. Exactly. That's the part you always need in your life somehow.
Yeah. And even with T. Jones, it's like, you know, even he, when we had him on the pod and he talked about how when he first stopped playing, he went through the same things. Didn't know what to do. Who am I? You know, you struggle because now you have to find that need that you had that the game gave you. You know, it gave you competition. It gave you self-worth. You know what I'm saying? It was intense. You had to overcome adversity. And, you know, you can't be the same person that you were when you're playing the game. Like, I think I'm a completely different person from when I was playing the game. You know, on the field, I was a jerk. You know, I was intense. You know what I mean? Like, off the field, I'm not that type of person anymore. Same thing with Thomas. Like, he talked about how acting – one, it gave him self-worth, but it was competitive because now I got to try to be one of the best. I got to win this role. I got to compete. I got to be one of the best in this aspect. Acting, it's not football, but now I can use what I learned in football to be one of the better running backs in the league, and now I can use that, and I have the tools that's going to help me be one of the better actors, or I can get this role. I can be in this movie. So he found, like, you know, he found his calling, you know.
And he didn't want to just play a strong black man number 6.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? He wanted roles, and now he's producing films and doing things like that. And, you know, he'll tell you it's because a lot of that is because the things he learned in football and the things he had to go through helped prepare him to overcome those adversities that he would face in, you know, in the film world.
No, facts. Yeah, man. That's deep, man. Like, it cracks me up because I think James Harrison did that for a little while. I don't know if he's still acting. They should get in the movie together. That'd be fire. I think James Harrison did some acting, like, right James after Harrison he retired.
Number protein commercials. Hey, protein.
No, he was in I just saw this because literally, like, no, I literally was just like, bro, there's nothing to watch. And so I just started waking up and turning on NFL Network. So, you know, it's just like the my life in the NFL, all of them stories, like, or just go through. So I was sitting there watching and I was like, this mug was in, like, he was in a major series. Really? I can't remember what it was.
I got to see it because
and I watched it. Let me, what's his IMDb real quick before we get up out here? Hey, man, we appreciate y'all tuning in, showing love, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let me look up James Harrison. Right. He is terrifying, bro.
You, James Harrison, right? Like, you got to fight so that way they don't just put you in the same role. Like, I'm a bouncer. Yeah. I'm a bodyguard. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, legitimately, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because that's who he was on the field. He's a big dude, but, you know.
He was on a show so this was a more recent one. In 2021, he did 8 episodes on a show called Heels. That's right. It was the wrestling show. It was the wrestling show, and he played one of the wrestlers. And the wrestlers that was, like, actual wrestlers were sitting there like, Hey, this dude could be a wrestler, dog. This dude's scary. Out here. Like, you're the most athletic big dude we've seen. Yeah, dog.
But see, hey, but look at the role. He's a wrestler. He's a bouncer.
He's a wrestler. He out there. Hey, I need to throw some dudes around.
Yeah, like you go on James Harrison in the movie where he's like a lawyer or something. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he played a patient. I ain't seen none of these movies. James Harrison, the love interest. That as EO from the sidelines. I'm here for it, dog. James, we need a movie where James Harrison and Thomas Q. Jones are both in love with the same girl.
Man, that's gonna be a lot of protein canisters flying.
Just sitting on the counters, just randomly in every scene. Like, is that another protein shake? How much protein can you have in a day? That's a lot of protein.
A lot of ready-made protein cans flying everywhere.
Apparently, he was in a movie, and I don't see who he played. He played a patient in a movie called Remember Amnesia in 2019. That's when he got into acting. So he has had some deep roles, apparently. Yeah, shout out to James Harrison out there, man. Hey, man,
it's all joke. But if you, I love, man. It's awesome when you, like with Thomas, like it was, like, you know, knowing him as a player and playing with him for a long time, and him being, you know, a great friend, a good brother, man. It was like seeing him in different roles. It was like, wow, like, man, like T. Jones is like, he's really good at this. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And to see him producing now and producing, you know, his own movies and having his own production company. Like, you know, it's seeing him in a different space is like different. It's shocking. But when you go back and think about the type of work ethic, the type of person he was, it's not shocking at all to see he had success, you know, in the film industry, because he's that type of person.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. It's always cool to see those lives after football, man. I love those stories because it is a lot of success because y'all are very dedicated and regimented. So when you put your mind to something, it's a dangerous thing to see because y'all usually accomplish it at a high level. But hey, man, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We covered everything on this podcast. Yeah. One thing I love about J-Mac, no matter what time of year, we doing an hour.
Yes, sir.
We talking. Me and J-Mac just be chopping it up on here, man. We appreciate you guys. I'll be back out at training camp tomorrow. I think Courtney said she will not be out there, so I will probably be doing a solo pod unless either J-Mac or somebody pulls up on us.
Friday and Saturday when the pads come on.
Friday and Saturday when the pads come on. Maybe we get a pod with J-Mac on Friday and Saturday then. We might as well do something out there, man. Hey, man, appreciate y'all for showing love. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.